Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I want to thank you in advance for being here and listening to the show. Reality Spirituality, what kind of show is this? What does that even mean? Well, glad you asked, because Reality Spirituality is a show that shares with the listeners how to live connected, how to live connected to the most powerful energy source that creates worlds. Some people use the term source energy, higher power, God. I use the term universe. And this show teaches how to live connected. And you can feel the difference when you are connected to the universe and you are disconnected. And is it possible to remain connected 24/7? I say it is, and I say living consciously as opposed to living unconsciously and habitually and how you were conditioned, that yes, you can live connected, because I'm telling you right now, when I disconnect, it's like a pea under the mattress. I could feel the difference. And my number one priority is not achieving, it's having this peace in mind, living with this contentment, with this knowing that everything is in order, and everything that happens to me and everything that doesn't happen to me is in perfect order. And the things that are happening, even if I look at it and maybe I wouldn't have planned it like this, universe, I wouldn't have planned my mother disinheriting me. But everything that happens, there's a lesson behind it. A lesson behind it for my betterment. A lesson behind it so that I will evolve and get to another level of understanding and another level of knowing. And it's not easy, audience. And I share that one of the things that I've had to learn is patience. Patience with this growth. Patience with evolution. Patience with what is going on outside of me. You know, you have a award-winning rose bush, and you plant the rose bush in fertile soil, and you don't stand over it and just start screaming, hurry up and grow, hurry up and bloom, hurry up and... No, so patience is part of living connected to the universe. I always like to say I don't like using the word should. I hate that word. There's nothing I should do, but there's plenty of things that I'm inspired to do. And the journey is really discovering who I really am. Who am I? So it takes a lot of looking in the mirror, and let me tell you something, that's not comfortable all the time. But if you want to live with this connectedness, this knowing, surrendering, to the universe's plan. It's happily ever after. You know, one of my favorite quotes from Abraham is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And this show, Reality Spirituality, is all about the journey. And today, I have to say, we have a fabulous guest all the way from Canada, and her name is Kim Aitz, and she's the president and founder of Fame of Mind Coaching, and she's an author, speaker, entrepreneur, coach, and mother of five. Kim is one of North America's foremost experts on performance thought management. By using her unique process of coaching through journaling, she works with high-profile clients to unveil and switch their thought patterns. And that's one of the things, let me bring Kim on, and that's one of the things that while doing research on Kim, this thing about changing your thoughts is so important, changing your perspective, changing the way you look at any particular circumstance. The universe gifted me this 360-degree module now. 360 degrees, 360 times, and 360 represents the circle. So in any situation, you have the ability, if you're going to be creative, to think of a situation in 360 different ways. Can you imagine? I can come up with a perspective or two perspectives or maybe three perspectives, four or five, maybe five if it's a good day. But 360 different ways to look at the same situation. And basically it's just finding that one perspective that is going to put a smile on your face. Welcome, Kim Aitz. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's a delight, and I'm excited to have this conversation.
Now, we opened up the chat room, and I also want to open up the call line. People, you can call in. People, audience, you can call in at area code 646-564-9619, and then if you'd like to chat or have a question or you have an issue or challenge that you're dealing with, please feel free. Again, the number is 646-564-9619. Okay, Kim, how did all of this begin? You have a unique way of coaching, and give us a little bit of background information as to how you came to develop this frame of mind coaching technique.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I mean, I have a lot of history, but maybe we can cut some of that out and fast forward.
Sure.
What we know is this, is that a lot of people struggle to reach their goals. And it's not necessarily because they don't know what to do, but a lot of times we think that they do know what to do, they just don't do what they know they're supposed to be doing in order to reach their goals. And so something's preventing them from taking action that would naturally follow and create the outcomes that they're looking for. So the question is, what is stopping them from taking that action? So that's an interesting question. And we can look at lots of different areas. Weight loss is a perfect example. So many people know exactly what to do to lose weight. The information is vastly available out there. It's not rocket science, but people really struggle with that. And that struggle has to do with something that's happening inside the mind or at the level of their thinking, their beliefs, their perspectives, etc. And so if we take that basic premise that we can always find the resources to figure out how to do what we want to do, but something's preventing us from taking the action, then if we focus on what is it that's preventing us, we'll start to understand that the way we think really creates our results, really drives our results, all areas of our lives. So we can look to our career, our health, our relationships, our overall well-being and happiness, etc. So that's the premise of Frame of Mind Coaching, to say, okay, if you want to create really different results, let's start by looking at your beliefs. Let's start by looking at how you think and how your thinking creates some good things and maybe sometimes not so good things.
Okay, so you're saying that This is going to be really good. So you're saying that a person's life experiences is, and maybe they like you said, they want to lose weight, or maybe they have a goal that they want to achieve, or they want, whatever it is they want, you're saying that their thoughts and their thoughts alone are preventing them from getting to where they want to be?
Well, yes. What I'm saying is that the way they think
mm-hmm.
will determine, if you look at someone's results, you can trace back their thinking and see why they're getting the results they're getting.
Okay, I see what you're saying now.
So, yes, there's a direct link between the way a person thinks, the way a person views the world, the way a person views themselves in the world, the beliefs they carry, and the outcomes they're getting in their lives. There's a direct relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can we get a little bit more personal here? Can I ask for you to come up with this unique way of looking at things? And I'm saying it's unique. It's unique for you. What's going on? What was going on in your life that you wanted to change, that you had thoughts about, and you changed your thoughts? How did this way of thinking, how did this manifest in your life?
Well, there were a few factors that contributed to basically forming the idea of frame of mind coaching. So let me kind of break it down. The first part was that in a past life, not in a literal past life, but 10 years ago, I used to own a software company. And mm-hmm. we were really interested, it was an assessment company, we were really interested in identifying what it would take to find top performers for different positions. And so we tested them on various fronts, their IQ, their personality, their skill sets, and we collected a ton of data. And so we were able to really look at what is it that truly differentiates people that reach goals that are head and shoulders above others. What is that thing? Is it that they're smarter? Is it that they're better looking? Do they have better social skills? What is it? And what we discovered is that, you know, for different careers, different characteristics or skills are important, but across all jobs, across all industries, there was one data point or one finding that was really significant. And that was that people who had a higher degree of emotional resilience were much more likely to succeed than others. And we're talking that dramatic success, that significant success. So that's very important to this conversation. So what is emotional resilience? Emotional resilience is the ability to get back up after, let's call it a blow,
mm-hmm.
right? The ability to get back up with speed and agility, and not only get back up, but leverage the adversity. What do you do with it? What do you make of it? How do you turn it into something good? Those people who turn their adversity into something good tended to succeed in a much more significant way than others. So that was one really important kind of part of my history. The second part of my history is, you know, I'm human, and I was married for close to 15 years and had a really, really rough divorce. And one of the things that I wanted to do for myself was try to go through the divorce with as much grace and dignity and pride as I could muster. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
those things were really, really hard to do, right? Because divorce hits you in the most vulnerable spot. And so what I did was I literally journaled 2, 3, 4 times a day. And at first, my journaling was just getting out or writing down all the things that were scary, frustrating, upsetting, depressing, worrisome, all those different emotions that I was feeling. And slowly, slowly, my journal started to help me refocus. And so I actually had a practice, and I would write down everything that was upsetting me, everything I was concerned about, everything that was on my mind. And then I would literally write the words down, it's time to turn myself around. And as I was writing that, I would literally now turn my focus or pivot my focus to what it was that I really, really wanted. So, you know, whatever. I don't want to live like that. I want to live like this. I want to have this kind of relationship. I want to have this kind of career. I want to engage in the world in this way. I want to sing. I want to dance. I want to play with my kids. I want to I want to travel. I want to do all the things that I want to do. And in that activity, I was able to turn my mind and focus in a forward manner and live in that more positive state. So those two things were really important. And you were going to say something?
No, I'm breathing and I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you intently. This is like a really, really good, okay, keep going. I love it. Keep going.
So those two factors were really important. The third factor was I was exposed to the coaching world, and I started to read a ton of books, information. You mentioned Abraham, you name it, from Abraham to Tony Robbins to Jack Canfield. Like, I just read it all. I just soaked it in. I read about leadership. I read about divorce. I read about parenting. I read about good marriages. You name it, I read it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was that really, really successful people think differently. They see the world differently. They view the world through a completely different lens. And it's a practice. It's a muscle they built. It's not just sudden and natural. They work at it. They work at that different perspective. So it's not that bad things don't happen to them. It's that they experience bad things differently because they perceive bad things differently. In fact, they know it may be that something bad has happened, but they look for the good in it. They just build the muscle, I call it the mind muscle, to experience whatever's coming their way in a whole different manner. So all these components came together to say, you know, there are lots of coaching programs out there, but most of the coaching programs focus on what are your goals, let's create a plan, I as the coach will hold you accountable to that plan, and let's go. And something about that felt wrong. And one of the things that felt wrong was, why should anybody, if I were the coach, why should anybody be accountable to me? Who am I that they should be accountable to me? And, oh, by the way, I'm remarried and I have 5 kids and I have enough on my plate. I don't need anyone else to take care of. And I thought to myself, what coaches really need to do is to help people feel that sense of importance so that they want to hold themselves accountable. And so that's when I created...
I was saying we must have a little bit delay, but I'm just saying I love what you're saying. I'm just loving it, soaking it all in. Yes, go ahead. That's why you created.
I'm sorry. Say that last part again.
No, I said saying that I love what you're saying. I'm agreeing and I'm loving everything that you're saying. And then you said that's why you created.
That's why I created Frame of Mind Coaching. And so what I decided to do was, it was an experiment at the beginning. I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing, but I had a really strong hunch that if we could help people focus on their thinking, really focus on building their emotional resilience, and really help them see the world and themselves through a different lens, then what we would be doing was clearing the runway for their takeoff. That was the thinking back then. And, I mean, it hasn't really changed over time. And so I started this program, and I said, well, let me try it out. Let me see if it's going to work. And I created a pilot program. It was a 10-week coaching program where there was a phone call once a week for 10 weeks, and I asked them to journal every single day for the duration of the coaching period. And at the beginning, I worked with groups so that they would literally be on the calls, on the coaching calls together.
Mm-hmm.
And we would talk together, they would journal together, and what happened was shocking to me. Number one is I really, really was able to get to their heart and soul through the process of journaling. They wanted to write down. They were dying to get it out. They were okay to share. Like, they were comfortable revealing their deepest, darkest thoughts and feelings. And that was really important. In order to transform those dark thoughts and feelings, we have to kind of see them and move them to a new spot. We have to look at the beliefs that hold them in that spot. And so it was amazing to see what people really thought of themselves, to me, it's not enough to say, here, just think a little bit brighter, a little bit better. It's really important to look at the beliefs that hold them hostage and shed light on them and challenge those beliefs, because people walk around with beliefs that simply are fictional. They made them up.
Yes. Yes, they're untrue. Yes.
Untrue beliefs. And so the process of journaling allowed me to see what their beliefs were and provided me with what I call to follow. And to get to the real core of what was going on, what is the true belief that you have about yourself that is actually holding dominion over your life? What is that thing? And when I could find it and hold it up and show them what they were believing about themselves, very often they had great transformational moments, and their beliefs simply started to take a new form, a new shape, a stronger, more empowered position, and their lives followed. When you think differently, when you see yourself differently, your actions naturally unfold to follow this new vision for yourself. So I started to realize, like, I'm onto something here, right? This is bigger than I thought. This is much, much more significant than I imagined to begin with, because at the beginning I thought, okay, I'll ask them to journal so that I could have a powerful conversation with them, so that I could be equipped as a coach, so that I could get access to what's going on, which was absolutely accurate. But what happened was, as they journal, they unload all the, let's call it crap, all the toxins, all the negativity, all the bad stuff, and then they start to build that muscle to turn themselves around and point towards where they want to go. So they're self-reflecting and turning. And so here's the thing, is that, you know, in the literature, there's a lot of information about turning yourself around, about pointing towards where you want to go, but there's not a lot of information about, how do I do that?
Right.
Right. And so here's a practical, tangible, very easy to implement approach.
Well, I love easy, and you said so many really, really great points. That is true. The perspective, I call it an unlearning of what I learned. You know, a two-year-old or a three-year-old doesn't have thoughts about not being worthy or not liking the way they look or blaming someone or judging someone or criticizing or looking in the mirror and just being unhappy. A two-year-old doesn't have any of that. So in my, what I share on this show is that it's an unlearning of all of the things that really just don't fit. They, like you said, they're not, number one, they're not true. And number two, they're not a good fit anymore. And I also want to share is that this, I don't know, it takes time. Changing a perspective takes time, and it takes a lot of mirror work. And you said journaling. It's interesting because another thing I would like to say is that there are 7.2 billion people on this planet, and I love your idea of journaling and writing everything down and people expressing themselves on paper, and I do a lot of writing also. But I also want to share that I'm just thinking about myself. I'm not going to be journaling all day long. It's just not my thing. So but I love the fact that your intention is to really, really let people see that what they're thinking is not true, especially about themselves. And my issue was always this self-love and being valued, feeling valuable and feeling self-love. And that has been a journey for me, and just getting to the point, slowly by surely, changing my perspective. The other thing I wanted to say is, you mentioned these are the successful people. What is your definition of success?
my definition of success is someone who walks with a sense of peace, ease, joy. They feel good about who they are. They feel good about their accomplishments, whatever they are. They have great relationships. They cherish their moments. They're present. They live a life where they are, they look at it and say, I live a great life. I'm proud of my life. Whether it's an actual tangible career accomplishment, whether it's stepping up and being a great mom or dad, whether it's being a great child when their parents are aging, whatever it is that it means for them. I don't have to define it for them. They can define it for themselves based on their values, based on their beliefs, based on what's important to them.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Yes!
I have a saying when I coach people. I have a saying when I coach people, and the saying is, milk your moments. Milk it, right? Just milk it. And what that means is, like, no matter what you're going through, like, really, really pay attention and notice what's happening and suck all the juice out of it. Like, just enjoy it all, even if it doesn't feel so good right at this moment.
That's right. Enjoy it all. This life is a gift.
Enjoy it.
All of it. Everything that comes to you is a gift. Oof, we're on the same page,
right,
sister.
All right.
I have someone in the chat room who, let's see, and they asked an interesting question. I'm baking cookies today for a cookie exchange. My thoughts in the past is that I can't cook. I thought that I couldn't cook. Last year I did have a better attitude and made better cookies. This year they will be awesome. Does your attitude really have that type of impact on the result?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Of course it does. Of course it does. You know, your attitude has an effect on how you go about doing everything.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
So, I mean, you're talking about something like baking cookies, which for many people might not be such, you know, such a huge important thing. But your attitude about everything shows up in the outcome.
I love it, and I agree. It's interesting. I had a dinner with a few girlfriends last night, and one of my girlfriends was talking about her relationship, her distant relationship with her child, and she mentioned that she was a working mom, always working, work, and she admittedly said that her children came second. Now her children are in their 30s, and with this chip on the shoulder, with not all of them, but this one particular child, chip on her shoulder, and just feeling neglected, abandoned as she was growing up. And she just has she's still ticked off. And so this mother really is doing everything now that she can to try to include her, to invite her to lunch, and to just try to become close. What would your advice be to that mom? I gave her my advice. I'd like to hear what you would say.
You know, she's trying to do everything, what I would want to find out is, like, what was the driver behind her feeling like she needed to work all the time? So what were the beliefs that caused her to work all the time? What were the beliefs that caused her to live the life that she was living? And so when we start to understand what the beliefs are, maybe the beliefs are, well, I have to work because otherwise I won't be able to give my kids everything that they want, or I have to work because this is how I establish my worth and my value. At home, I'm not important. At work, I am. Maybe it's, I have an abusive husband and I got to get out of here. Like, we don't know. We really, really don't know the driver of that action. And so I'd be really, really curious to know what the driver was. And then when I discover that driver, I would share it with my daughter. Here's why I did that. Here's where it came from. It was misguided, perhaps. Maybe it didn't actually lead to the outcomes that I was looking for, and obviously an apology, but here's where I'm coming from, because the daughter can't get past it. And you can only get past something once you understand it. She doesn't, I mean, there's a lack of understanding on the table.
That's really interesting.
Does that make sense?
It does make a lot of sense. And one of the things I did ask her, because I didn't come from the same place of why she was, why, you know, what made her work all the time, what was the reason why, but I definitely understand what you're saying. Because one of the things that she said was she loved her work. She said she, you know how people get in the zone and they don't even know what time it is, and she actually loves what she does. It wasn't, I didn't get the sense that she was working because she felt like she had to. She found something that she really, really loved to do, and that became her focus. But I basically told her
I will tell you, though, there's probably a belief about how good she is as a mom. There probably is a belief about how equipped she was to be a really good mom. We have a tendency to hang out where we are succeeding. And when we're not, if we're in an environment where we're not very effective or we're not succeeding, we tend to not want to be there.
Mm.
And so, I mean, there's a lot to poke around. There's a lot to discover. There are a lot of beliefs that fueled her activities, and I'd want to know what those beliefs are or were at the time.
Yeah, that's a great perspective that you have. And the other thing, I just lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry?
No, I just lost my train of thought. I just lost what I was going to say. It'll come back to me, though. Oh, this is what I was going to say. Some of us, this is another truth, some of us are not really built or not really set up to be parents. Just because we can have
a
child doesn't mean that we have this priority of being a good parent. And there's nothing wrong with not having any children, but there's this societal, especially in this country, you know, you grow up, you get married, and you have children. It's basically what you do. And there is another way of thinking that what is good, and this, of course, he's had children, so it's, of course, that's another moot point. But for you younger listeners, you don't have children just because you feel like you're supposed to or that's the natural progression. There's a lot of people that have children and, quite frankly, don't need to. That's my point. That's my input. What do you think about that, Kim?
Well, you're 100% right. There's a great amount of pressure to follow a specific road in life, right? You go to high school, you go to university, you find a person, you maybe get a job, you get married, you have kids, you have grandchildren, you get old, you die. There's your life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so to suggest that there's another path, that people don't have to follow this road, that there's nothing wrong with you if you don't follow this road, that your life is still extraordinarily meaningful even if you don't have all of these particular components in it, right? Right? Because what we're describing is the norm, or at least the North American norm.
Yes.
And there's a belief, again, we're going to the belief that says, if I don't have these parts in my life, then something's wrong with me, my life is missing something valuable, I must be broken, there must be something not quite right about me.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And it's very difficult, well, let me just speak for myself, to stand out on the limb and be different and really, really, really be different. Thanksgiving guess what? My favorite way to spend Thanksgiving is alone. My favorite way to spend Thanksgiving is by myself. Now, let me tell
Perfect.
You something, Kim. That doesn't get a lot of cheers. So when I am really feeling myself and knowing that what's true for me, I get, oh, how sad. Would you like to come over? Oh, come. Where's your mother? Where's your son? Oh, woe is you. But
right.
it's just staying and knowing that you are okay and all parts of you are okay. We have another question in the chat room. We have a lot of people in the chat room today. Here we go, Kim. I found a townhome that I would like to move to, but I can't take that step to move forward. Why not? I've cleaned a lot of my house. I've gotten rid of things. I've made room for new things to come into my life, but moving, I am at a standstill. What to do to move ahead? Is Spirit telling me, no, don't move?
Okay. So one of the questions that I like to ask is, you know, if she believes that Spirit is telling her not to move, then we would want to pursue that, right? Like one of the things you said at the beginning is there's 360 different reasons why, right? So that might be a reason, and that reason might really, really resonate for her. And if that's the case, then don't move. So, you know, as a coach over here, what she does doesn't matter to me, but what she thinks to be true really does. And so one of the questions that I want to know is, what is it that you feel is stopping you? There's a feeling that you...
Hello? Oh, no. Kim? Hold on a second, audience. Let me see. We're right in the middle. Cliffhanger. Kim, I can't hear you. Okay, so let me do this, audience. Hold on a second, because we have to get her back. She's actually in the queue, and it looks like everything is okay. But I cannot hear her. Hold on, audience. Kim, if you're listening, if you can hear me, I can't hear you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to disconnect and call back, please. Okay, audience, this is what we're going to do. We're going to wait for her to call back, and we're going to take a quick commercial break for maybe a minute, maybe a minute and a half. But what? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting, the cliffhangers? I love cliffhangers. Okay, you're listening to Reality Spirituality. This is Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Come back.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Kim, you're back.
I'm back. I think something happened there. Spirit kicked me off.
I know, because that's because you were dissing Spirit. You said, no, I'm just kidding. Oh, my God, that's so interesting, because it was a great cliffhanger. It was a great cliffhanger, and everybody's in the chat room is waiting to hear the rest of what you were saying. Please continue.
Tell me where I left off, because
okay,
I
let me
kept talking.
Okay, let me tell you where you left off. You said, which was really a good point, you said, I would like to find out why she believes Spirit is telling her no.
Okay, so hopefully I can get it as back as good as I had it the first time.
No, it's going to be perfect.
Okay, here's what I want to say is that What I'm really, really interested is in what she's thinking, right? So there are two options. One is she's not taking action because there are some beliefs that are some faulty or untrue or unhealthy beliefs that are preventing her. They're paralyzing her from taking action. So I want to clean up the beliefs, but at the same time, she has a strong intuition. And maybe that intuition is telling her this is not the right thing for her. It's not really in alignment with what she wants and where she wants to go. It doesn't align with her goals. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't mesh with who she is and how she wants to express herself, whatever that is. And her intellect hasn't caught up to that. What I want to do is I want to know what's really taking hold here. Are they paralyzing beliefs, or is it a strong intuition that's really guiding her? And so I want to clean up the beliefs and then be clear on her values and her vision for herself. And when we're clear on all that, it's easy to see why she isn't taking action.
Ooh, that's so good. So basically what you're saying is just get rid of all the mess, get rid of all the dust, get rid of all the dirt, and find out exactly, go down. This is one another thing I say on the show, is get down to the least common denominator to figure out why,
Okay, so, and I'm just looking, and she wrote, fear of doing this by myself. And so what I would want to know is, what is that about? Are you afraid that, is this a money issue? Is this a living alone issue? Is this a I can't handle all the responsibilities of life issue? But there's so much there. There's so much there that we really have to address. If it's an issue of money, lots of people have money issues, right? And those are fears, those are beliefs. And that belief might be, I can't do this. I'm not equipped. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the right job. This is overwhelming for me. Whatever that might be, those are beliefs. And you could see that in those beliefs might be some stuff that doesn't really gel with where she wants to go that needs to get cleaned up.
I agree with you. She typed again, not sure if this is intuition, trust is an issue, getting mixed messages. Well, she's getting mixed messages. So,
And the question is, who's she struggling to trust? So, I mean, Lexi, I'm gonna say to you, I invite you to start journaling. I'm even gonna give you a place to go to do that, and it's www.gottagojournal.com, and you can sign up for a free journal. And what I want you to do is actually submit your journal into a coach for review. And because we've had this conversation, I'll catch you, and we can talk that way. There's so much to discuss. There's so much to uncover.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do right now in my life is if I'm struggling with anything, if it's a struggle for me, if it's not easy, if it just doesn't just flow, then I know I'm going in the wrong direction. I go in the direction of what flows, if it feels like it flows. If I feel like I'm stuck or I'm back and forth and back, and then I know that I'm not flowing. I am really into flowing with all of it. And, again, letting the universe drive for me, letting the universe drive, and I'm in the back seat. And the only thing I have to do, thing I have to do is not resist what is, flow, surrender, trust, and let the universe unfold its plan. Because I believe that it is all a universal plan for me. Let me just say for me. And I cannot speed it up. I can't slow it down. I cannot make it happen. I cannot stop it from happening. So I'm really in the back seat riding this journey, and that's what I believe.
Well, you're right. And you know, when you talk about resistance, you're right on the money. Everything that we want is right there waiting for us. But often what we do is we literally, like, it's literally outside our door. And what we do is we put up our back against the door and say, gee, I wonder why it's not coming in, right? And so for me, those beliefs, the way we think, is often the strongest form of our resistance.
that's right. Oof. So Lexi just typed in that she's going to go to the gottagojournal.com. It's interesting. How many people in the audience love to journal? Raise their hands. How many people in the audience really don't like journaling? That's me.
Let's talk about that for a minute, okay?
Okay, let's talk about it, please.
Let's talk about that. So, I mean, I work with individuals who maybe aren't used to journaling, right? So they've never journaled before. But here's what happens when I work with them. It's not like they're just journaling. They are literally engaging in a dialogue. So I'll ask them a question, and they'll respond. But the response is a self-reflective kind of response. But there's this dialogue that's happening back and forth, and they're eager for the response. So imagine a journal that talks back. Well, that's what it's like. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. So it doesn't feel so daunting. You don't feel so like, okay, this is work. It's just a conversation. You have conversations all the time. You have text messaging conversations. You have phone conversations. You have email conversations. You have conversations on Facebook. This is no different, except the focus of the conversation is different. The focus is on you and your thinking. And you know what's really cool? What's really cool is that when you start to just pay attention to where your mind is oriented and you make a small effort to orient it a little bit differently, you get really big results.
You're absolutely right, Kim. And one of the things you said earlier was this building a muscle. I say it on the show all the time. It's just another skill set that you develop. You know, there are so many skills to learn and to become efficient at, and this changing your perspective, thinking in a different way, getting down to the truth, uncovering your belief system, all of this thinking in a different way is another skill set or building another muscle. You're absolutely right. One of the things I have conversations, okay, don't, you know, whatever, and my audience already knows, I actually have conversations with the universe. I can sit and talk, and I get answers. I get answers back. And I know that they're universal answers because, or universal statements, because of the content of the statement. I know the difference between a universal statement and a conversation versus my ego talking to me, or whatever you want to title it. And so I have a direct link, zip, I can call at any time, and I'm just quiet, and I ask a question or I have a conversation, and there you go. So maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm not, there's nothing wrong with journaling, no, but I do have that conversation. It's an active conversation with the universe daily, if not moment by moment.
That's awesome. And most people aren't as tuned in as you are.
But that's why I love the fact that you're offering so many different, you're offering a different way. And I love the journaling because what you're saying is it's not a job. It's more of an adventure. It's an adventure to discover, an adventure to discover the truth, adventure to discover, you know, what do I really believe? What is my truth? Who am I? Who am I really? Right?
That's exactly it. I mean, we spend so many hours on social media, but we don't spend nearly that amount of time just paying attention to ourselves and looking at what's going on inside of us. We don't give ourselves enough attention, and we don't, you know, like we weren't born knowing how to use a keypad, right? Like on a computer. We weren't born with that skill, but most of us are pretty adept at this point because we do it every day. It's
That's
something
right.
We do literally mindlessly. Go there and we do our thing. It's not something that we sit there and say, okay, where's the A? Right? We don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could give ourselves even 5 minutes a day to pay attention to what our thoughts are doing, our lives would be completely transformed, and it would become easier and easier and easier to do.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Just like driving, there's no thought to driving. And I remember learning how to drive, and I learned how to drive on a stick shift, and it was brutal. So that's all this is. This life is about developing new skill sets, developing new, just new ways to live, different, not only new ways to live, new ways to be in this world. We're coming to the end of the hour, which is crazy. This has gone so fast. Is there anything that you can share? Give us some behind-the-scenes tips. Give us some of the, let's see, we have someone that wants to type. Give us some, you said journal. Okay, now we're journaling. And then you would ask the questions. When you're saying that you would ask the questions after you read the person's journal, and then you would come up with questions to discover their perspectives, correct, to discover their thoughts. Would you like to do a little exercise with me? Would you like to? I'll be the guinea pig.
Sure, let's play.
All right, let's play, girl. Come on.
Well, what is it that's on your mind that's maybe you're thinking about, or what's bothering you, or what's going on for you these days?
Ooh, you know what? There is something going on right now. Okay, perfect. And it just happened yesterday. I am really, really in tune with who I am, really who I am. And my son is visiting. My son is visiting, and he's been in New York since 2006. And he says, I am not spending another winter in New York. So he's out here in California. And he's doesn't know when he's leaving. He doesn't know when he's going back, but he really wants to kind of put his feelers out. And I've discovered, Kim, that I like living alone. I don't want a roommate. Even if it's my son, I don't want a roommate. Listen, he can come and visit. He can, but having a full-time roommate is not working for me. Go ahead.
Okay, so that's, first of all, how old is your son?
My son's 28.
Okay, so he's here with no plan. And so, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong. So you're
sure.
Pretty clear that you enjoy living on your own, and that's what you want to do. So the question I have for you is, what's preventing you from letting him know?
Oh, I just figured this out yesterday. As soon as he comes home, he's going to have the conversation. We're going to have the conversation.
Okay. So most people in your situation would kind of say, oh, my God, this is really cramping my style. I don't like this. This is not feeling good to me. But I have guilt. I don't feel good about kicking him out or telling him he has to go or giving him, an exit date or whatever it is that you're going to do, right? I don't feel good about that. I'm the mother. I'm supposed to,
to
invite him into my house because we have these ideas of how things should work. Now, you said earlier in your show, I don't like to use the word should, but most people do use the word should, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in a situation like that, you are self-aware. The moment that it came to you, you decided, okay, I'm going to have the conversation. I'm curious. Did you play out that conversation in your mind?
Yes, I did. Well, first I had to figure out what it was that, because he's been here for a few days, but I had to figure out what the hell, there was an energy shift in the house. It was just an energy shift. And I had to figure out what that was. And one of the things that I know that for me is that it's never about the other person. It's really not about my son. It's not about, it's not about him. It's about me knowing what I'm comfortable with at this age in my life. And so I thought to myself, I said, okay, so how am I going to explain this? Wow, should I reveal this? Well, I am going to reveal it. I thought to myself, he's experienced all this, evolution, evolving with me. And I'm really going to share with him that it's not you. It's not personal. It's never personal. It's really about me and what I need in my time right now. And this connection that I have with the universe, I told you I talked to them, they're really pulling me to be alone, be alone, be alone, because that's, for me, that's where I get my, that's where I have my most growth. And it's about feeling bad about talking to him? No, because this is one of the things that I teach him. Sweetheart, it is about you. It's you know, your happiness depends on you, and nobody can be in that equation. If you're really talking about your own happiness, no one, okay, here I go, should be in that equation. So I will explain that to him, and he's not going to be homeless. He has plenty of people he can live with or stay with, his father, his two grandparents who are living alone. So it's really about me being honest and doing what's best for my evolution right now.
So there are two things that I want to say, okay, and they're contradictory, but I would explore both, okay? So one track is this. High five for knowing what you need and want, and high five for having the ease and the courage to bring it up and do what's good and right for you. So, you know, in most cases, people would not arrive at that situation as easily and as clearly. So, you know, I give you 10,000 points for getting there fast and taking the action.
10,000 points. Thank you. 10,000 points.
That is healthy and good and aligned for you. Having said that, there's a little tickling thing, a niggling thing in the back of my mind, which is this. And if you were anybody else, I'd leave it at that. But because you are you, I would say to you, if nobody else matters, right, then what is it that you're allowing? What's happening in your thinking that's creating the shift in energy? And if you could completely own your energy and own your shift and own your mindset, right? Like, you know, let's go away from your son in this particular situation. If you're in a grocery store and someone's behaving badly with the cashier, you can either tune into that or not, and that's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you is, what are you tuning into that's causing that energy shift? And so to me, because you are you, I would do that level of work. And I would say, you know, your son's there and he's causing this rift for you. And okay, you know, I don't want to compete with the spirits that are talking to you, but I would just ask that you kind of pay attention and say, what is that thing? What is that that's going on? What's the thing that I'm here to kind of work through?
Okay. And I love that, and I'm accepting all of that. So you're saying, why has my energy shifted since he's been here?
Well, yeah, I'd ask you to kind of, it's fine, you know, ultimately, you know, he's 28, he should probably go, but, and I use the word should, but that's besides the point.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what is going on for you that causes that internal discomfort or friction? And while he's here and while you're feeling that friction is a great time to work on that, to look at it more closely.
So I would
spend a little time on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. I love that, as a matter of fact. So you're saying, I'm just trying to be clear, so you're saying spend time with figuring out what is the friction in the energy while he's here? What is that?
Yes. Well, okay, so you and I agree. You are responsible for the way you feel. You agree with that?
Yes.
And so why am I not, what's happening to me that I'm not taking responsibility in his presence?
Okay.
So, we're all like that. We're all human. We're susceptible. Right? That happens. But I'd just be very curious about it. And again, not that it changes the actions you're taking or the outcome, but I just leverage that as a learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? I appreciate that. And as soon as we get off, as soon as the program is over, I'm going to ask the universe to help me out with that question, because I love that question. And thank you for digging deep, and thank you for digging deep for me. I love that. Thank you so much. I really am. I love it. I mean, this is what I love to do. I love this internal working out stuff and just coming up with answers to what's going on, because then I can share with my audience my experiences. I love this, Kim Aides. Thank you so much. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, and yikes, what a great show. What a great guest, and what great information. Please share with my audience where they can find you and your contact information.
Okay, so again, I invite everyone to sign up for a journal. It's complimentary. It's gottagojournal.com. But you can find me at frameofmindcoaching.com. There are little videos. There's tons of information, cruise around the site. Articles, all kinds of stuff there. So please, I encourage you to get to know us a little bit better.
Yay. Okay, so let me ask you this question before we get off, when is the last time you've been angry?
When is the last time? Yesterday. and I'll tell you what happened.
Please.
My husband and I were driving in the car, and we were going to pick up one of our children. It was like 10:15 at night. And as we were driving, we came up to a corner, and that corner is near a mall and a school. And there were a gang of kids. And all of a sudden, I saw them like start beating each other up. So I lowered the window, and I literally, like with the meanest, most aggressive voice you could find, I said, "Hey!" But not, I mean, I was way meaner. "Hey, stop that right now! I'm going to call the police!" And, like, from, like, the bottom of my gut, this voice came out of me that nobody recognizes. And they, like, they got scared. And they broke up the fight. And they, the two gangs went their own way. And one kid said, "Please don't call the police."
Oh, my God, that's a great story. That sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, but I was like, I was livid. Like, I felt my heart racing, and I was like, "I'm going to go out there." And, you know, like, I just completely got kind of all my senses were removed,
yeah.
And my instinct stepped in. Yeah.
I love that your mommy's thing came out, too. I mean, this whole, I love that story.
Yeah, that happened just last night.
Woohoo! Wow, that's really a great story. That's exactly, yeah, it sounds like something I would do for sure. Well, we have come to the end of the hour. This has been a fabulous show. I want to thank Kim Aides for being my guest. Reality Spirituality is on every Saturday and Sunday at this time, 7 a.m., and tomorrow is going to be a special show because guess what? It's yours truly. It's my birthday tomorrow, and I am going to spend my birthday with my audience. And feel free to call in and ask any question you like, whatever, you know, I'm open. Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you can follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington, and if you've enjoyed the show, go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. You can visit me on my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. And you can go to the private sessions tab. And until next time, my dear audience, I just want to remind you. I want to remind you who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient. And love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again tomorrow. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. I love you all.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Oh, love, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.